You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
SLB Radio presents The Twilight Zone, Radio Horror Story, Episode 1. It's been 10 years since my brother went missing, since the town's kids have gone missing. You don't get it, though. The last time I told this story, people were confused. They don't get it. I've learned that you never really believe something out of a horror story until you experience it. You see, on this 10-year anniversary, I'm gonna give it one last try. I hope you listen. I know you will. Because that's why you're here. Cold mornings in the winter of St. Louis are expected. In fact, they are surely to arrive. This one was and felt different. The blaring voice on the radio conveyed to my family that for the next week we'll be trapped in the negative zones. As my mother bundled me and my brother up, we stepped outside in our oversized boots. Our eyebrows and face got caught in the mist of the snow as we braved through the storm. We arrived at the schoolyard a quarter before 8 and found our seats in our respective classrooms to sit through the torture of our teacher's mouth all day. See, I find school boring all year, but the winter is a bit more bearable because of the snow. Every year, snowstorms distract us as we run to the window and our teachers yell at us to get back to our seats. As 2 p.m. came, me and my classmates decided to go to Johnny's house today to build snow forts in the backyard all afternoon. Winter is also my favorite because of my radio programs. I love the radio. That big brown box is my escape from reality day to day. Winters give me the best type of programs, from the horror stories to Christmas songs and more. So I usually turn it on and fall asleep on my mat, consuming the ear pleasure. 9 p.m. that day arrived slow. My dad poked another log into the fire as my mom finished her knitting for the night. My brother and I blocked out their talking by playing checkers on the floor. My 25-0 record was not in harm that night, an ordinary winter evening in the Whitaker house. The radio turned from an old man's voice to light-sounding music. It was time. Time for the stories and the thrills. My brother and I lay down by the fire to listen. Around a minute in, a loud voice blared into the song. The song stopped. Silence consumed the room for a minute. A voice started.
We now interrupt this broadcast with an emergency message of life-threatening situations.
I sat up. Another voice began. My brother got up and rushed to the window. It was met with flashing lights. They weren't noticeable at first, but got larger and larger by the second, to the point where they were blinding. These lights were met by screams in my neighborhood. They had heard the news too. You could hear them from a mile away. There were many objects in the sky now. I counted 8 at first. It was only then my dad decided to put down his newspaper and looked up at our window. His face didn't give a look of reassurance. I didn't want to believe it at that moment. It sounded too stupid. I've heard these stories on the radio, and now it was happening outside. My mother asked my dad what he was seeing as he was trying to figure out what was going on. The news station continued to give out information for the next 30 minutes. All the facts and words seemed to blend together into nothing. 30 minutes past 9. That's when the station started taking calls. 3, 4, 5 people went by saying the same type of story. Mrs. Clyde, our next-door neighbor, was next. You see, Mrs. Clyde wasn't someone you wanted to tell your opinion to. This lady didn't believe in magic, voodoo, sorcery, myths, you name it. But she was crying. Full crying. She couldn't get her words out properly. Her son was gone and she was fully bought into this alien drama. She was desperately begging anyone for help. My family heard her. Their ears perked up, especially my mother's, who had been friends with her since grade school. She tried to run out of the house, but my dad had to hold her back. My parents were talking about what to do. The snowstorm was already bad and now Mrs. Clyde had lost her son. It was impossible to find him in these lights, in these conditions. The frantic voice continued and got more worried by the seconds. With every call, tension rise through St. Louis, and alarms got louder, and more ear bleeding. This wasn't a joke anymore. There was much too information to tell you in this short story, but an important piece of this puzzle is when the announcer said to please keep your kids safe at all costs, even if this means to send them away. He said something about a train running from all hours tomorrow. I didn't think much of it at first, but he got serious about it. He said sending your young ones on this train to a safer place during this lockdown would ensure their safety. A train. Yes, a train. My parents looked at each other as realization came over them. I knew what they were thinking. Mrs. Clyde's son was already gone. The last thing they wanted to do was to lose my brother. I turned my head, hearing the neighborhood getting more frantic. I could hear kids screaming, parents arguing. Doors started to open with parents dragging their kids, kicking and screaming, out of the house into the winter night. It was something out of a sci-fi movie. You had to be there to believe it. Everything was happening too quickly. There was no time to think. It had been an hour now since the newsman had come on. My mom ushered my dad to go outside and see what all the fuss was about. My dad came over to my brother and grabbed him by the wrist and forced his way out of the house. My brother walked outside with a look of pure horror on his face. He was old enough to know exactly what was happening. My father and other parents talked and talked for what felt like hours around the block. The looks on all the kids' faces, including my brother, signaled the worst. The sirens got loud, too loud for anyone to be outside anymore. As my father sauntered back to the house with my brother, he conveyed that he would be getting on that train tomorrow. He would live with the other kids in the neighborhood, in a safer place, wherever that is, until the conditions outside were clear. I remember him promising my brother that night that we would come get him after the news finds out more about these aliens. I was confused as I looked at my dad. He looked back at me and tried to whisper "I'm sorry" through the silent tears. My mom thought at first there could be another way to keep him safe, but she finally had to agree, realizing there was too many risks and too much evidence. My brother assured me that night that he would be fine, that his friends would keep him company. He was only 6, though. He didn't know about life. He wasn't ready for this. The next morning came, and me and my brother tried to stay in bed for as long as we could. I hanged onto my pillow for dear life, and for a second thought I was dreaming it all. But we knew what was going to happen. We got on our coats and breathing masks after brunch, as my family and others walked to the train station. My city looked like something out of a dystopian novel. My mom consoled Mrs. Clyde, promising they would find her son, as I tried to reason with my dad one final time. When we got to the train, kids were lined up one by one, all the way from the beginning of the train, out of the station. Parents were giving the final goodbyes, and kids were crying and screaming, not wanting to go. When it was my brother's turn, he gingerly walked upon the first step and sat in the very back. As the train went to the snowy distance, my brother looked at me. We shared our final moments together. He was gone, into the snowy night. By the time we arrived home, the city was in a complete lockdown. The only people who dared to take a step outside were those giving up their kids to that train. 9 p.m. arrived slower that day, and it was time for my program again. It's time to hear the thrills in those horror stories, and fall asleep to those light Christmas songs. It was different this time. This time I was currently in those stories. I was the one running from zombies, ghosts, and aliens trying to hang on for dear life. My parents spent the rest of the day crying by the fire, praying my brother stays safe and finds his way back home. As expected, in place of my programs that night was a news broadcast about the apocalypse we were in. The news anchor tonight sounded so calm. I wish I could tear apart that radio. My life had turned into a living nightmare, all of our lives, and he was calm. He talked more and more. He was laughing now and telling random jokes. He then says the most important part of the story, the reason you're here. He says, I laugh. My parents stare. Nothing has processed yet. He talks again.
That's right. A hell of a prank. Thanks for playing along, folks. From John Sterling, Nightly News is next.
The static drags. My dad rises from the couch. He was disgusted. He goes over and kicks the radio. He kicked the stand down. As he shakes in horror, he gets our axe by the fire and smashes the radio into a million pieces. I duck as they fly past my face. My mom cries as she finally catches on to what had happened. I could hear a pin drop in the neighborhood for a while. Then cries. Cries for mothers and fathers' children. It's all gone. My brother's gone. It was a prank. A harmless prank that we believed so quickly. My dad walked out the house and screamed at me to get by the front door. We hopped into his beat-up, shiny blue bike. I didn't know what was happening at first, but I caught on. I didn't need to ask my dad where we were going. We were going to find my brother. He pedaled faster and faster in the complete darkness. I was sick to my stomach, thinking it was too late, that the train was somewhere we could never make it to. I begged my dad to slow down as he ignored me. We didn't make it out of Missouri that night. We didn't even make it past Kansas City. My father didn't know where we were going. We were in the complete darkness, hoping for a sound, a sight. Around 3 hours since we left home, my father decided to stand up to stretch. He stood up, and he fell. He fell and he didn't get back up that night. My dad had exhausted himself to death. I got up and ran over to check his pulse, but it had ran out. It was too late. I laid on his chest and screamed out into the cruel world, the world that had took my family away. He was gone. Well, what happens next? That's it. That's all I have for you tonight. Not every story has a happy ending. Well, fine. I guess you do deserve to know a bit of the aftermath of my story. Later that night, a small car eventually caught my sight. The middle-aged man in the car asked if I needed directions or dropped off somewhere. I looked back at my dad, realizing this was my only hope to get back to my mom, my helpless mom. I left my dad that night, as the man in the car asked if I wanted to go with him to the bar. He seemed at least a bit drunk. I reminded him I was only 15. He asked for directions from me. I tried, I really did that night, to remember the directions back home. My mind was fuzzy, though, and I was full with anger. I couldn't help but cry. I wept in the car that night. He eventually got mad and asked me to leave the vehicle. I didn't want to believe what was happening to my life. Long story short, today I live in a foster care with some friends I've made through the years. I haven't seen my family since that night. My brother is dead for all I know. I did find out shortly, though, after the prank of the apocalypse, it had been announced that John Sterling, the news anchor, had been shot dead. Well, that's it. If you don't believe the story I told you tonight, so be it. I will warn you, though. The next time you think you're hearing the most ridiculous story, take a minute to listen in. You never know if you're the next victim of the Twilight Zone.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground. And it's time for play, it's a whipped cream day. I love it when it comes to play.